Amen. Thank you, Donna. Go ahead and take your seat. As you can see from those verses that Donna read for us, this is an interesting series I'm about to endeavor in. I'm about to dig into something that is kind of exciting, but on the other hand, it can be a little bit heavy. Do you see how this can be a little bit heavy? So I have to ask you right from the beginning of this series, hang in there for the whole series. Because this series has the potential to stir us up in such a way and really give us a perspective of God that maybe has been lost. Maybe we have a wrong perspective of God. So that's my initial warning and welcome. So it's good to see you this morning. So as we begin our new teaching series, I Am Jonah. The book of Jonah is one of the minor prophets. So the Old Testament has what we call prophets. And what is a prophet? A prophet is someone who spoke on behalf of God. So he repeats what God says. But Jonah is a bit of a different book. In the book of Jonah, we get the story or the biography of the man himself, the prophet. And as we journey through Jonah's story, this is what I believe is going to happen to us. The book of Jonah is really designed to be like a mirror to our lives. So some scholars have debated, you know, the whole story of Jonah, because in the story that, you know, in the next chapter, he gets swallowed by a big fish. Now some scholars have said, well, he actually didn't get swallowed by a big fish. Others have said, no, he got swallowed by a big fish. Whether you believe he got swallowed by a big fish or he didn't get swallowed by a big fish isn't the real point of the story of Jonah. The real point of the story is this, that God pursues us. Amen? God's love will find you. You can't run, I can't run. We can run from God, but we can't hide. So here's the essence of the story of Jonah. God's love will pursue you and I wherever we find ourselves. That's the essence. The essence of this book is about God. It's about Him. What makes the book of Jonah so amazing and so scary, so truthful, yet so gracious, is this. God has a plan. And He will bring that plan to pass at whatever cost necessary. God will go to whatever length is necessary to accomplish His plan. Now, that's the thing. That can be just so exciting for us. Or listen, that can freak you out. Come on, that's like, my gosh, like, can I really run from God? Well, the simple answer is no. But welcome to life, we all try. That's Jonah. Are you seeing this? So in Jonah, we see this. We see the raw truth. And this is what I love about the Bible. The Bible never masks over or covers up the truth and the reality of who we are. The Bible isn't in the business of sugarcoating things. No, it doesn't do that. If anything, the Bible is so raw. It's so real. It's almost like, oh my gosh, did you have to say it like that? But that's the beauty of this. So in this book of Jonah, we see truth. We see rebellion. We see sin. But we also see God. We see that God has a plan. We see that He's sovereign. He's gracious. He's full of love. And He's in passionate pursuit of people. That's what we see. So in Jonah, we really see the marrying of two beautiful truths. And we've already experienced those truths this morning. Truth and grace. So when we confess sin in the morning in our service, that's truth. Truth is, I mess up. Truth is, I'm not perfect. You say, oh, but you're the pastor of the church. Exactly. I have all these other things to make me imperfect. So, but that's truth. And grace comes in and says, but because of Christ, because of the cross, we have forgiveness. In Jonah, we see that perfect marrying of truth and grace. God speaks to Jonah. Jonah runs the opposite way. Doesn't even respond. Did you notice? Jonah didn't say, well, hold on now. I want to talk about this. No. He just goes the other way. So there's an interesting dynamic going on here. On the first Sunday of January, I shared a message. And I really said, my hope, my prayer, my belief for our church, Port Church for 2017 is this, that we be trained in godliness. So I talked about being trained in godliness. And I defined godliness as this, saying yes to God. That's godliness. Don't make it any more complicated than it is. Godliness is you and I saying yes to God. Now let me ask you the million-dollar question. Was Jonah very godly? Come on, he said no. He ran the other way. So here's where we see truth. But yet, just because Jonah said no, God didn't accept his no. God went after him. Can I say this? Not every storm in our lives is a result of the enemy. Some storms in our lives are the result of God and his mercy and his grace. Amen? Pursuing us, chasing us down. So we begin this teaching series, I Am Jonah, with God speaking and Jonah heading the opposite way. Jonah's really just saying this, no, forget it. I don't want any part of it. So what begins to happen next, and as Donna read for us, is Jonah finds himself in this situation on this ship, far from where God told him to go, and this big storm arises. And the Bible says that God brought the storm. Now, for some of us, listen, that messes with our theology. We say, well, hold on now. I thought God was good. I thought God was always kind and gracious and merciful. I don't think God really wanted to cause a storm. Well, that's what it says. It says God caused the storm. But you have to go beyond that. You have to take one step further and say, if God caused the storm, the really important question is why? Why did God cause the storm? And as we journey through Jonah, and I'm not going to get through all this today, so Donna read a lot, but we're not going to tackle that, is we begin to answer that question, why? So here's where you and I will say this. It is very important, and I said this at the beginning, please hang in there for the remainder of the series. Do whatever you can to be here for the next 3, 4, 5 Sundays, because today I'm really just laying a foundation for this message. I'm giving you the broad strokes. I'm giving you the big picture. I'm giving you background, perspective, that we have to dig out of this a little bit. So here we go. Poor church, I believe this is being trained in godliness. And it's interesting that the first series we dig into is a guy who was anything but godly. He actually went the other way. But let's not be too critical of Jonah. Come on. Because Jonah had a lot of legit reasons for going the other way, which we're going to dig into. So as I said, we're going to lay a foundation for this teaching series today. And we're going to look at Jonah's refusal or his rebellion. And then you're going to begin to see why we titled this teaching series, I Am Jonah. So here's my first point. Jonah was instructed by God to go to Nineveh. So if you have your Bibles, you can open with me to Jonah chapter 1. In verse 1 it says this, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So that's what God said to Jonah. God just instructs Jonah to go do something. Now, this is a total rabbit trail side note that I can't dig into, but it's worth your consideration. Isn't it interesting? God never asked Jonah his thoughts on it. God didn't offer Jonah, what do you think about going to Nineveh? No, this wasn't the case. God said, go. It was Jonah who thought, I got some say in this. I'm going to show you how much say I have in this, and I'm going to go the other way. But God didn't actually look for Jonah's response. God wasn't totally interested in that. So who were these Ninevites? Who were these people that God was sending Jonah to? Well, they were Assyrians. And Assyria is modern-day Iraq. So I heard a preacher talk about this a while ago. He said, it's kind of like it's where ISIS is today. So a bit of a picture is, God says to someone, go to ISIS. Go tell ISIS what they're doing is evil before my eyes. Go tell them, but if they repent, I'll forgive them. That's kind of a graphic picture, a graphic depiction. But we begin to see something within that. Who else were they? They were ruthless. They were Israel's sworn enemy. Jonah was an Israeli. So these Ninevites, these Assyrians, would constantly attack Jewish settlements, Jewish cities, Jewish towns, and wreak havoc, plunder them, kill people, do all kinds of evil stuff. They were extremely violent, and I have many graphic examples of that I'm not going to share for the sake of the children. But you can sort of let your mind wander there. Nineveh, the city that Jonah was called to, was a large city, was a big city. It took 3 days to cross the city on foot. There was a wall around the whole city, 100 feet high, and the wall was thick enough so 3 chariots could drive on top of the whole wall around the whole city. So it was a big city. At the gates of the city, they would pile the bones of their victims. So now get that. Why would you do that? Well, you would do that because you're trying to make a statement. Come on, you're trying to say something. You're saying, whoever enters these gates, be careful. Come on, there's something powerful happening. There's something scary on the inside, so you better take note. It's really fear tactic. So we can see that just based on natural facts, Israel's sworn enemy. You can understand the fear that would have been inside of Jonah. The trepidation. See, really? Is that where you're going to send me? Jonah has lots of reasons to say no to what God's asking him to do. Here's the question. How am I like Jonah? When we hear God's word and we do the opposite, I am Jonah. When we believe our own comfort and convenience is of higher value and higher importance than God's truth and God's will, I am Jonah. When we ask for God's blessing and God's goodness, but we don't want to know anything about God's correction or God's discipline, I am Jonah. When we say we believe God, but live every day as if God does not exist, or God can't speak or doesn't have the right to speak into our lives, I am Jonah. Are you seeing why I'm beginning to call this series I Am Jonah? And listen, I said this at the beginning, so please, you forgive me. It can be heavy. But listen, I've said this many times, the gospel must sting before it causes us to sing. What's the point there? The reality is, the more I see my need for God and his forgiveness, the more beautiful it becomes. The less I see my need for that, that's not very beautiful. That's just a gory story of a good man who died a cruel death. But if I understand, no, I'm the one in need of that. I am Jonah. I am running from God. I don't want inconvenience in my life. I want convenience in my life. I want to do what's best for me. I want to put me first. I want my way, not his way. And every time I choose my way versus his way, I am Jonah. So that's what this story is really telling us. And it's amazing that God uses these mighty people and their humanity to speak truth to us today. So it's always interesting to me when people say, oh, the Bible is so old. Yeah, the Bible's old. The Bible's really old. But here's the amazing thing. It still speaks to truth of you and I today. You know why? Because people don't change that much. Come on. We're the same things. We go through the same things over and over and over. And here's the truth. The book of Jonah can help break that cycle. Looking at Jonah's life, studying his life, can actually break that cycle. We can say, hold on, I'm tired of going through the same storm. I'm tired of being shipwrecked and left for dead. I'm tired of another storm coming and taking all my stuff and I have to throw it all overboard. I'm tired of that. So Jonah can actually bring something better into our lives. When we feel the need to bring God up to speed with our modern way of life, and try to correct him on what he thinks, I am Jonah. When we think we know better than God and we don't bother to pursue what he thinks, I am Jonah. When I think science, society, and my experiences are more powerful, more important than what God's word says, I am Jonah. When we find excuses for our own rebellion and disobedience, I am Jonah. So we begin to see that this is a big, deep thing. But we also can see ourselves within it. When we run away from God's voice and God's call, I am Jonah. When my way is better than God's way, I am Jonah. Finally, let me say this. I am Jonah. And when the storm hits me, and it's going to hit harder than I want it to hit, it's going to last longer than I want it to last, remember, I am Jonah. And you are Jonah. But it's super, super important for me to get this point across today. Because as we look at that, it's hard. You have to get your mind around this. Why would God send a storm? Why would he do that? Remember this. The storm that Jonah and those on that boat with him experienced was not God's condemnation, was not God's wrath. God wasn't looking at Jonah and saying, oh, you said no. Now I'm going to get you. No, that's not how God works. Listen, God's not some messed up parent. Come on. That's not his angle at all. It's completely opposite. God says, I have such love in my heart for those people I'm sending you to. I need you to go. And I know, Jonah, this is difficult for you. I know you. This is personal for you, Jonah, because I'm sending to you to people that you think I should condemn. I get it. I get it, Jonah. I understand it. I understand all the reasons you want to run, but I can't let you. You know what caused that storm? God's love. Listen, I say this to you. There's some storms in our lives in this room today that are a pure result of God's love. And I get it. We're praying. God, take the storm away. Stop that wave. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why is all this happening? Why is this happening to me? I get it. We pray like this. But have we ever considered it's God bringing that storm? And why did God bring the storm? What do we know about this? How that storm ended? Kind of in a crazy way, the storm ended when they threw Jonah overboard. But what is that a picture of? Jonah stopped running. The storm is designed to stop us from running. Amen? Why? Why does God want us to stop running? Because he knows his way is the best way for our life. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I can say that, and you can agree with me. But the reality is, when Monday morning hits, do you know what I want? I don't want necessarily God's way. I want my way. Come on, Lord, what do you have for me this Monday morning? I wish I woke up like that. No, most things like, what do I want this week? You know, I want some more food, but that's not a good thing. I want this, I want that. And we could pursue all these things. And it's not that those things are wrong. But are they going to give us what we think they're going to give us? So remember this, the storm that Jonah and his friends experienced was not God's condemnation, was not God's wrath, was God's grace and God's goodness. I believe the reason we are in this series in our church is because God is on our case. We can run, but we cannot hide. You cannot outrun his goodness. His goodness will track you down. And can I say this? Here's the reality. When you're running from God, you don't want him chasing you. Come on, it's the last thing you want. You don't enter this and say, oh, thank God, I'm running from God, but thank God he's chasing me. No, you're like, leave me alone. Get off my case. Go find Robert instead. Go chase Robert. But you say, this is the reality. You don't want to be pursued by God. You don't really, when you want your thing, you don't want to hear what God has to say. So he's like, ah, la, 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 la. But that doesn't work because he's right here. And he chases us and pursues us and gets a hold of us. So what do we see? The whole first chapter of the book of Jonah documents Jonah's rebellion. Many times when God says to do something, it often seems difficult, hard, and in some ways not right. Come on. Sometimes God asks us to do things and we think, you are flat out wrong. That is messed up. You say, forgive that person. You say, hold on, you want me to forgive them? Do you know what they did to me? You want me to forgive them? Why don't you work on them first and then I'll forgive them? Come on, that's how our response is. But God says, no, do this. Are you still here? But to be fair with Jonah, God is sending him and asking him to do something very difficult. There's a quote by a guy named Dr. Gray Barnhouse. Thank you, Marco. It says this, very graphic. Think of this. He's actually talking about the book of Jonah. He says, God calling Jonah to go to the Ninevites was like asking a Jew in 1942 to go from New York to Hitler and tell him that God loved him and that everything he did would be forgiven if he would but repent. So the Jew got on a train, all right, and went to San Francisco, then got on a ship to Japan. He wanted nothing to do with it. That's the depth of what we're talking about. Could you imagine? You're a Jewish person, and God says, go speak to Hitler. But you know, my gosh, do you know what he's doing to people like us? You don't want any part of that. So I thought that was a powerful picture. The real question that we must ask ourselves is this. If it's hard, can it be God? If it's hard, can it be God? See, I'll tell you this. Our modern religion, modern society, modern culture says this. Everything that's painful, everything that's boring, anything that takes a long time, that cannot be God because God wants everything good for me. God wants everything I want. God, this is modern Christianity, okay? Can we be straight with one another? Modern Christianity says this, whatever I want, God wants for me. So what I do is I just write my whole little list down of everything I want, and I just present it to him. And like my butler, he just gives it to me. That's modern Christianity. I don't want to offend anyone. I hope I don't offend you. But that's the reality. Yes. Instead, we say, hold on. Have you ever stopped to ask the question, what does God want? Right. See, now if I'm going to ask that question, I'll tell you something. I have to consider something. Is God good? Do I really trust him? Can he be trusted? So everything that I want, everything that's painful, boring, if it takes a long time, it can't be God. We live in a microwave society. We want it all and we want it now. I think there was a song, something like that. Everything that takes something from me and is achieved at a high cost and doesn't make me instantly happy, but make somebody else happy, that can't be God. Can God really want me to give something and not get anything back? I've coined this little phrase, the Jonah response, and I close with this. The Jonah response goes something like this. I want my life, my way, and on my terms. What drives this is really at its deepest core, a lack of trust, a lack of faith, and a lack of confidence in God. And maybe we could say it like this, a lack of knowing him. Because I'll tell you something, as you get to know him, he's full of love. He's full of grace. He's full of goodness. He has a plan for your life that you could never dream up. He has things for you to do and accomplish that would blow your mind. That's him. So when we choose ourselves, let me ask you this question. When you choose your way, or if I choose my way, what am I giving up? Sometimes I think, oh, when I choose my way, look what I get. Yeah. But what are you giving up? Do we give something up when we choose our way? Do we give something up that God has for us? Every week of our lives, we choose the Jonah response. God speaks, and we run the other way. The Jonah response says this: I don't have time. I know what to do. I don't have what it takes. I can't follow God. I'm not sure how. There's a lot of good arguments there. The truth about running from God is this: we always know when we're running. Can I share a story with you? And then I'm going to close. In 2002, I left Saskatchewan to play football in Toronto for the Argonauts. That was a whole story in itself, but we won't talk about that. Near the end of the football season, so the football season ends in November, around September, I started having this thought that I really didn't like, reoccurring thought in my head. And I really didn't like the thought. And this thought was, you should move back to Ontario after the football season. You should move here permanently. And can I just be honest with you? I grew up in Saskatchewan. I don't like Ontario. It's okay to say. I came to Ontario to work, and then I was happy to go back home. But I had this sense. It's like, you should move back. And I'm like, that's crazy. That's got to be the devil. So leave that thought alone. Yeah, it wouldn't go away. And then the craziest thing, the closer I got to the end of the football season, the stronger this thought got. And the stronger. And then one day, I had a day off, and I was by myself in my apartment, and I was thinking, what in the world? This is crazy. Why would I move back here? I don't know anyone hardly. All my friends on my team are going to go home. They don't live in Toronto. They live all over the country, all over North America. What's there for me to do here? All my family's back in Saskatchewan. I have a house. I have work I can go back to. I got everything back there. This is crazy. And then it got, this one particular day, it got stronger and stronger and stronger. It was like early October. And the season was coming to an end. And it was just heavy on me the whole day. And to be honest, at this point, I was irritated. I don't know if you've ever been irritated by God, but I'll leave that alone. Maybe I'm the only one who's ever irritated by God. But I was really irritated. And kind of like a little frustrated and angry, actually. But it just got heavy. And finally, I said this. I said, fine, I'll move back. And I threw my hands up in the air like this. And the strangest thing happened to me. Strangest thing I've ever experienced. All of a sudden, this peace filled me. And all this angst, all this frustration, all this resentment, all this anger I was feeling, gone instantly, and I was full of peace. And I said, oh, Lord, maybe you do want me to move back. And all of a sudden, the idea of moving to Ontario wasn't awful. It became beautiful. But that was God pursuing me. The storm that I experienced was this anger and frustration and inside of me. And just like Jonah, I had to fight something. I had to fight what I wanted versus what God wanted. Now, you have to look back. You have to look ahead in that story. What happened the next year? So I moved back. I went home, got my house in order, rented out my house back in Saskatchewan, moved back in January. I met Rachel that year. I really entered ministry in that year. God opened up all these doors for me that year. It's amazing. And what were my prayers? God, can I please have a wonderful wife? And I hope she's hot too. See, those are all prayers I had. God, if you have ministry for me, please, I'm open. I'll go wherever, but just not Ontario. You see, sometimes the thing you want the most and the thing that God has put inside of us, by our refusal to follow him, we might miss out. Does that make sense? I hope that little story gives you a bit of a picture. So say yes. So the truth about running from God is this: we always know when we're running. When we run, thank God that He chases you. Thank God that you have those feelings. When we're running from God, it's really the last thing we want is to have Him chasing us. I want to speak to us today as a church, as a people. Maybe there's some people here today, and God's saying this to you: it's time to come home. It's time to live for me. Stop running. Maybe to others, God's saying, it's time to make church a priority. Stop running. Maybe to others, God is saying, it's time to be the husband or the wife that I want you to be. Stop running. Maybe to others, God is saying, it's time to let go of the pain from the past, the unforgiveness, the resentment. You've held on to it long enough. It's time to let it go. Stop running. Maybe to others, God is saying, it's time to let go of the steering wheel of your life and trust me to get your life where I want it to be. Stop running. To others, maybe God is saying, it's time to stop looking in the rearview mirror of your life and be brave enough to look through the windshield, and just maybe God has something amazing ahead for you. It's time to stop running. The storm is God's grace. And can I say this? It won't end until you stop running. And you know, sometimes when we stop running, depending how stubborn you are, like me, sometimes we don't stop running until we collapse. Sometimes we don't stop running until we have no energy left to run. And then we feel like, oh, my life's over. I've lost everything. I have nothing. Oh, no, 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 no. That's when God comes in and picks you up and puts you exactly where He wants you to be. Stop running. Go ahead, bow your head, close your eyes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are today. We thank you, Lord, that you are a sovereign God. We thank you, Lord, that even when we don't want it, even when we're not looking for it, you pursue us, you chase us, you run after us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us to stop running today. Every one of us in this room are running from something that you're pursuing us with. Help us to stop. Help us to trust you and look to you. In your name we pray. Amen.